7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Hello, monkeys. Welcome to the Live Wild or Die podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Dan. And I just realized as I started to record this intro that this is the 12th Live Wild or Die podcast episode, which I set out at the beginning of 2019. I set out to record 12 episodes. And once I edit this and upload it, that goal will have been achieved. So I'm psyched. And I purposely, I don't think 12 episodes is that like awesome of a goal or that huge of a goal, but I purposely kind of set it low, knowing that I could do it, and then knowing that doing it, achieving that goal is going to motivate me to keep going. So that's just a trick I've been using more and more recently, kind of actually setting lower bars, but in doing so, it allows me to achieve that goal, and then I set another bar that's a little higher, I achieve that and keep going. So useful trick that I've been using. And I also want to thank, there's been several monkeys that have left awesome reviews, 5 stars, by the way. Thank you so much. And some other folks that have sent some really insightful messages on some previous podcasts as their kind of stance or how they see some things. So if you have an idea or if listening to this has sparked something you'd like to bring up, please send me a note and I'll read it on the show and we can kind of have this open, ongoing conversation. That's really why I even started the show. I want to talk more about the monkey lifestyle, the monkey mindset, and all these things I think about and how you guys relate to that. And I know I'm going to learn a lot from folks commenting and sharing their thoughts. So I appreciate it. So this is actually, you'll hear it again, but this is part one of a 2-part series I'm going to do on the concept of the misogi. So let's dive into it. Hello, monkeys, and welcome to the Live Wild or Die podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Dan. And this is a special episode. This is part one of a 2-part series we're doing on the misogi. And I'm actually recording this sitting underneath a large ponderosa pine tree in Grand Canyon National Park. And today is April 11th, 2019. In just over 24 hours, it's technically Saturday, April 13th, 2019. We're going to start around 2 a.m. and run what's called the Grand Canyon Rim to Rim to Rim. So starting from the South Rim, you drop down 5,000 vertical feet to the Colorado River, cross it, then you climb another 5,000 vertical feet up to the North Rim. That's about 24 miles one way. Take a quick look around at the top, enjoy the view, and then you turn around and reverse it back to where you started. So total mileage is somewhere, it's around 47, 48 miles, depending on where you look. And the total elevation gain is somewhere between 10 and 12,000 vertical feet of elevation gain. So it's going to be hard. And got a group of friends coming down from Colorado. I've got a teammate, former college teammate, coming in from California. Another buddy drove up from New Mexico. So we've got a great crew. And, you know, I've never been in the Grand Canyon, so this is my first time here. And I had a chance before the sunset this evening to look over the canyon before the sunset and it got dark. And it's one of those things pictures do not even come close to doing it justice. So if you haven't been here, I spent maybe a half hour walking the rim trail, just taking as many pictures as I could. And it's 100% worth a trip. So I would highly recommend making the trip here and enjoying the wildness. So I want to talk about this concept of the misogi, which I spell it MISOGI. And I first heard about this concept in actually an Outside Magazine article. And the basic premise of the misogi is creating this very difficult challenge, which typically is a physical challenge, but it could also be, you know, a more intellectual challenge. But it's creating this challenge that you don't know if it's possible. And if it is possible for you, it's certainly going to expand your limits of what you thought you could do. So the idea is you do something that you've never done before that you're not even sure you can do, with the hope that once you're able to achieve it, it's going to expand your mind to see what's possible, and you can keep kind of raising the bar. So I've certainly never traveled 48 miles on foot before, let alone under, well, I've traveled that distance, but over a few days. So this is going to be, we're doing this run in just a single push. I'm hoping, I feel pretty confident I'm going to be able to do it in hopefully 16 hours. I feel like that's a pretty reasonable pace, but who knows? So I'm shooting for 16 hours, start at 2 a.m. Hopefully I can make it back to the trailhead at 6 p.m. before it gets dark, and have a little celebration before I sleep for hopefully like 14 hours. So it's one of those situations. I know it's going to hurt, but it just, it makes that first bite of warm food, it makes going to bed that night, it just makes everything so much better and just makes you appreciate life. I think the, although just the little things that you take for granted. So I'm really psyched to report a successful trip back to the monkey family. And, I'm stoked to hear about any Misogi ideas that you guys had. And so just kind of talking more about the Misogi now. So in this first article I read was, it was a professional basketball player and I can't remember his name. And it's kind of nice. I don't have internet right now, so I can't just Google it. So this Outside Magazine article, I bet if you just Googled, you folks listening within Wi-Fi or 4G range, if you just Googled Misogi, M-I-S-O-G-I, and then Outside Magazine, I'm sure it'd pop up. But it was this article about this pro basketball player that he would do this Misogi challenge in the off season just to kind of build mental toughness. And that's really what it's all about. It's certainly is physical, but it's developing the mental toughness and callousing that's involved in completing this physical pursuit. And then being able to kind of realize what you might be able to do with a little more training or different training or just whatever your creativity can produce. So in this article I read, they were basically, they had this giant rock and they're out in the ocean, I think off Santa Barbara, I think it was Southern California. But basically what they were doing was they were taking turns carrying a rock underwater for like, I think it was like 3 miles or 5 miles. It was a legit distance. So what they would do is one guy would swim down, pick up the rock, go as far as he could, drop it, go to the surface, and then he perhaps would repeat that process. So as many times as he could run it. And then when he needed a break, he would swim to a boat that was following. Next guy would swim down to the bottom, pick up the rock, run, walk as far as he could underwater with the rock. So it's not like their head's above the water. They're underneath the surface of the ocean, running on the seafloor, carrying a big ass rock. So he'd go as far as he can. He pops up and then they just cycled through. So it's just, it's this totally just random thing that they created, but it was one of those things. What if, can we do this? Is it possible? And once they did that, they'd gone on to other challenges, but I talked to some other friends about it and it's just, it's kind of this cool ritual to adopt into your year. So I've kind of started doing, I'm trying to think how long it's been. So I think I've done 3 50K runs. I did a big wall climb. So I'm going to say it's maybe about 4 or 5 years I've been doing this consistently where there's like this one really big physical challenge that I haven't done before and I know is going to be super challenging for my personal fitness level. And that's the other thing to be mindful of is it doesn't have to be a 50-mile run or a 100-mile run or, you know, just climbing Everest or these super elite goals. It's supposed to be personal. So it's supposed to push your own personal boundaries and expand your mind so you can see what's possible. So I think the farthest distance I've ever covered on foot before is 34 miles. And that was in Sequoia National Park in 2010. And I was a wilderness ranger that year. So I was hiking like 10 miles a day minimum just as a part of the job. And then I was also training on top of that. So that wasn't like, it was just kind of something I'd aggregated enough volume throughout this. I did it, I think, in August. So I had like 2.5 months to aggregate all this volume and time on my feet. And, you know, it hurt for sure. The last 2-3 hours were definitely challenging, but you know, it was just a part of my job. I was always hiking every day. So training for this trip has been a little different. I've got a 7-month-old daughter. She's awesome. And I have an awesome wife. And of course, I am a monkey elder. So trying to do as much as I can to give you guys good training and just podcasts like this that hopefully stir some thoughts in your own head. But so it's been a little different on the training perspective. I haven't had as much time as I have had in previous years to really do these super long runs and be training, lifting, all this stuff. So what I've tried to do is just maximize as most as I can from basically get the most out of I've basically been trying to get the most I can out of every free moment I can find. So just a few examples. I, of course, am doing long runs. I tried to do one a week. So that was anywhere from maybe 10. I think the longest one I did was 20 miles. And luckily out here in Boulder, there's a ton of elevation. So it's easy to get a lot of vertical gain in 20 miles, no problem. Even like 10 miles, you can get 4,000 or 5,000 feet of vert. But so I was doing these long runs, and then I did a little bit of weightlifting. So just your standard back squat, deadlift, I have some kettlebells at home. So I was doing that. And then what I was doing I was really using Pocket Monkey the most. I was doing these plank holds. So I would do, it was this 5-minute plank core workout. I did this maybe 2 times a week, but it's a 5-minute workout, super easy. I would hold a plank for 40 to 45 seconds and then rest for 15 seconds and then repeat again. So you aggregated this time in the plank pretty quick, just blasted my core. I could do it in the morning or in the evening. It was a great exercise I could just sneak in. And then of course I always do my morning routine, which is basically I do 3 sets of 15 rows. I do 15 push-ups and then 10, 15 squats. You just cycle through that real quick. And I started adding in the plank workout, as I mentioned, because if you think about it, when you're running for long distances, you're upright, you're especially on the trail, your core is engaged. You're kind of holding this upright plank for like, you know, if I'm holding it for 16 hours, I really wanted to make sure my core remains strong. So that's what I would do at home. And on top of that at home, actually, I had some kettlebells. So I would do just these, it was like these micro workouts all the time. And whenever there was free time, if I was watching my daughter, if she was napping, I would do some kettlebell swings, do some squats, mix in Pocket Monkey rows or presses, or like I said, core exercises. And then I also bought a weight vest that was 60 pounds, 6-0. And if I was pushing her, if I was strolling her around the neighborhood, I would wear the vest, which made it way harder. It was a 3-mile loop. And then also if she was napping at home, there's kind of like this grass area outside her place. And if you walk around it, it's maybe, I don't know, 50, 75 yards, something like that. But I basically would just walk in circles around the front area of our townhome. So that was kind of a test in mental fortitude of just lap after lap after lap, but I could throw the ball for the dog. It was great multitasking. Excuse me. And then when I'm at Monkey HQ, I've got Pocket Monkey set up there. So basically I would do these little micro work breaks where I would go do a shoulder circuit, which I was trying to do a little more of that, especially like Y's and T's, W's, I's, because for this particular trip, I'm going to be using poles, hiking poles, trekking poles. So I wanted to work on my arms, my shoulders for lifting those over and over again. So I would do that. I would do pistols. I would do lunges. Just, I would kind of just make up these. They weren't so much workouts as they were like these, just going through big ranges of motion and staying active. Just trying to accumulate volume. And then also what I really stuck to was if I had a call, I would always walk. So I did miles and miles of walking and just on random calls. And then on top of the long run, I was doing at least either one or two shorter runs during the week. And there's some trails right outside of Monkey HQ that were awesome for that. It's like I could get 5 to 7 miles with a little bit of elevation, nothing crazy, but just getting on the trail, and it's, you know, you're looking at the Continental Divide, especially it was an out and back. So on the way back, the sun be setting, it was super beautiful. So that's what I was doing. But in years past, I definitely had time to run a lot more, and I was usually getting in two long runs on the weekend versus this time around, I just was doing the one, except my last, so 3 weeks ago, basically, leading up, it'll be 3 weeks ago from this upcoming Saturday. So 3 weeks prior to the actual rim to rim to rim, I did 3 days in a row where I did 15 miles the first day, I did 14 miles the second day, and then I did 11 the third day. So I aggregated, I think that's, 40 miles, right? 15, 29 plus 11. Yeah, so 40 miles in 3 days just to get that compressed, that dense volume load of running, time on my feet, elevation gain. And basically from there, it's been super fun just tapering. I've done a few runs, nothing crazy, and kind of tapered off on the lifting. I've still done some kettlebell swings, and of course, I'm still doing my bodyweight exercises, and of course, using Pocket Monkey mainly for pulling, so rows, and then also just a ton of core work. So it's amazing how you're kind of beating yourself up for months training for something like this, and then you get these 2 or 3 weeks just to kind of take it easy, and I feel so good. You can just feel everything recovering and getting stronger, really. You know, it's like you don't get stronger when you're lifting. You get stronger when you're sleeping, basically, when you're recovering, right? Or you're adapting. So something to think about. If you're just going ham, balls to the walls every day, and you're not seeing progress, well, it's probably because you're not recovering or you're not adapting. So something to think about if you've been training a certain way for a while and you're not seeing the results you want. Look at maybe taking a deload week, a rest week, or just some way to kind of give your body a chance to recover. Maybe it's your sleep too. If you're super crazy tech startup coder and you're working 16 hours a day and you sleep 4 hours and all you do is work and you're stressed, that also affects your recovery as well. So something to think about. But the sun has almost completed setting here in the Grand Canyon, or on the rim of the Grand Canyon. So I'm going to go spark up a fire. I'm going to cook. I've got this giant sweet potato that it's super cool. You get a fire going. You can do it with any sweet potato, but I like to do it with a little bigger one. You literally just put the potato directly in the fire, and it's the best tasting sweet potato you'll ever have. You just let it sit for maybe 30, 45 minutes, depending on how big it is. Pull it out, cut it in half, and you have basically these two bowls. And it chars like a millimeter around the outside, and then the middle is just the most moist, fluffy. It's so good. You got to do it. So this is part one of the 2019 Monkey Misogi, which is the Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim trail run, hike, whatever you want to call it, in a day. Trying to shoot for 16 hours. My main goal is, one, don't get hurt, have fun, and hang out with some good friends. So super psyched to report how it goes back to the Monkey family. And if you have something you're thinking of, some big challenge in Misogi that's been on your mind, I would love to hear about it. Shoot me an email, info@monkey.co. And if you made it this far, thanks so much for listening. Hope to see you out there soon. Stay wild and monkey on.